The tools and techniques of analysis and evolution. The analysis and evolution shall be faster and effective with the use of tools, techniques evolved over a period of years and developed by project management gurus. Important ones to suffice for the purpose of project management requirement analysis are listed here. So let's look at one by one that we have. We have something called as expert judgment. When we say expert judgment, what do we mean by an expert? Expert is somebody who's gone through it. Expert is somebody who has learned through it. Expert is somebody who has an experience of doing a similar project for years. So that's an expert judgment. You always require a coach or a mentor, and that's exactly what an expert judgment is all about. So he or she actually speaks with experience. He or she actually talks about what has been their experience while they have been executing the project. And if there is a similar kind of information that is required during that project, then an expert judgment is picked up. So we're going to go step by step into every type of it. While we doing about it, I'll take you through every type. So let's look at this. Expert judgment. Expert judgment are often used to evaluate and analyze the aspects that that doesn't have a physical data to analyze. For example, a scope definition over and above the specification are stated requirements that are more intended needs of a project output. Such judgments are sought from groups or individuals having specialized knowledge or training as such, which means they have the experience of doing it and they've been doing it for year long and have proven track record. So anything that is more objective in nature is where the experts would come in and give their comments. So let's look at this. What is the next technique? The next technique is also called as a facilitative technique. The facilitative technique, I'll read through the slide and then probably explain you. Facilitative technique has a broad application for analysis and evaluation of requirements of various project management aspects. In order to define the project charter, facilitators are trained or experienced experts for project management. Facilitators help team and individuals to accomplish a specific task with use of techniques such as brainstorming, conflict resolution, and problem solving. Senior management, other unit heads within the organization, consultants, stakeholders including customers or project sponsors, professionals and technical associates, industry groups and subject matter experts become the facilitators. So let's look at this. Facilitators, I keep using the statement, what is or who is a facilitator? Have you ever seen a compass? When I say ever seen a compass is, a compass is something which is which shows you directions. Now, when you have a compass, does a compass have the capacity of actually telling you which direction is correct? No. Compass has the capacity to show you the direction. The choice of choosing the direction lies with you. Similarly is a facilitation. Facilitation is about navigating the thought process of the project team members to reach the desired outcome. However, not getting involved into this. So facilitation is a very powerful technique when it comes to brainstorming, when it comes to conflict management, when it comes to creative thinking to resolve issues of your project. Now this takes us to the other understanding also, where we're talking about, so who are the groups that we see in project management? So the groups that we see in project management are the senior management group members, are also the consultants that we actually hire during our projects. It's the industry groups. So a lot of, so for from an HR point of view, there is a group called NHRD, National Human Resource Development Group. So these are individuals who work as industry experts, industry groups and subject matter experts during the process. Let's look at the next thing, which is the tool and technique of evaluation and analysis. So meeting, I'm not going to focus or rather speak much on meeting, because I'm sure by now while doing your courses you've done a lot of meetings for your projects that you're undertaking. So meeting conducted, reading through what is there on the slide, meeting conducted with clear defined limited agenda, purpose, objectives and time frame are very effective tools to analyze and evaluate the inputs from the stakeholder. So let me give you the words that we were just speaking about. Limited agenda, which means focused agenda. Purpose, which means the objective, is very clear of the meeting. Time frame, how much time is this meeting going to be conducted, and what should be the end result. Once you have all these four elements described, you will have an effective meeting around it. Now, it's a very strong tool of evaluating and analyzing the inputs from the stakeholders, which we will have a close look in the coming chapters. The project manager shall be the organizer of this meeting. So who should draft the initial email? Of course, the project manager. And shall be attended by impacting experienced team members. The cross-functional composition of a team is preferred choice. Why? Because you know variety is the spice of life. And when we say that, you require a lot of experienced players in the team to ensure that you're actually winning the project at good cost, better quality, and better scope. Purpose of the meeting shall be very precisely specified, such as information exchange or brainstorming or option evaluation or decision making. So all of this becomes the agenda of your meeting, which means information exchange is a good to have information. Brainstorming, there is a problem and you got to solve that. Option evaluation is we've decided on four things, we got to choose one. Decision making is this is an integral part of the project phase and we have to ensure that we're completing it. So that is something that will help you in making decisions. Let's look at the team. Team may have to develop some templates, formats. Collect and analyze the supported data. Consider alternatives to evaluate the requirement before arriving at the decision recommendations. The team must consider all aspects of the project, not only the technical aspects. When we say people who are more technically inclined will have technical issues and technical resolutions. People who are more management involved and will have, you know, management issues. But as a good project manager, you need to be aware of all the things, whether it's behavioral, human driven, or whether it's technical driven. So meeting are most effective when all the participants are face to face at the same location. While it is very difficult nowadays to be face to face during the meetings, so video conferencing is also a great method of doing effective meetings. So outcome of meeting shall be recorded and incorporated, used in the subsequent phase of the project. And when we say this, the common terminology used is called MOM, which is also called as minutes of meeting, to be drafted immediately after the meeting. And of course, there is an allocated resource for that. Somebody has the responsibility of driving that MOM too. That takes us to the next part of it, which talks about project management information system. So what do you mean by project management information system? It is nothing but a software or a platform that preserves the information for you. So it could be a SAP, it could be an ERP, it could be an MS Project, it could be a Primavera. These are various softwares that are used to preserve the inputs of your project management or project. So project management information is an inherent part of any project executing organization's environment. The project management information is a very powerful tool for evaluation, since it provides access to the tools such as scheduling, work authorization system, so who's going to be authorized at what time, configuration management system, distribution system, or interface to online automated system. So you do receive these emails for leaves, if you remember. There are auto-generated emails. Thank you, we've received this email. And it's a no reply. It says noreply@soandso.com. All these tools are very useful for analysis and generate and monitor key performance indicators. Now, a new word that's been evolved here is called key performance indicators. Now, what do we mean by key performance indicators? There are two kind of indicators. One is key performance indicator, and the other is called as key result areas. Now, what's the difference between indicator and the areas? So areas are the broader aspects of your work, and indicators are the toll or the milestones that I receive once and which tell me as a project manager that my people are on target. So something that you've got to focus in your corporate life is your key performance indicators, which should reflect to you of how your project, how you're performing individually. Very, very crucial when you go ahead and actually work in your professional life. So key performance indicator is a new word that we're talking about today. Now, Let's look at what is the next that is for us. The next talks about analytical techniques and the lots and lots and lots of analytical techniques which are there. However, what we've listed down here are the most commonly used. Requirements of almost every project management aspect need some or other time to consider alternatives. Fast track or crash activities, it's inevitable. Why? Because not everything happens the way you've planned. So analytical techniques become more important. Taking decision about the impact of a project scope, cost, schedule, and outputs, use an analytical tool is very effective in such cases. Organizational policies and procedures may influence the technique used. Very common tools used include, but are not limited to, leads or lag. If you remember, I have used this word called lead or lag. Now, what do we mean by that? What's a lead? Lead is something that you've, the word says itself, that lead is something that you've just, what's a lead? Lead is something that that you've taken more steps and you've actually finished the activity faster than the desired time. And lag is that there is a delay in the activity that you have to complete. So let me give you an example. If I have to complete an activity by 30th of January and I've been able to complete it by 20th of January, which means I have a lead of 10 days. If I've planned to complete the activity by 30th of January and it completes by 10th of February, then I'm with a lag of 10 days. So that's how a lead and lag is calculated and worked upon. The lead and lag also plays an important role in the entire scheduling of your project. If my critical path is in lag, which means my most important task I'm not able to complete on time, so I got to wrap up and ensure that. So analysis, the tools that you use in analysis will play a major role when you are actually going ahead and creating your schedule. So that takes us in understanding organizational policies and procedures may influence the techniques used. So depending upon what kind of an organization you're working in, the tools I also use. So not necessarily that your project will have a separate tool, but it will be a subpart of a bigger tool that the organization is already using. For example, a SAP. So a module of SAP would be given to you as a project manager. However, an organization already has. So organization wouldn't be interested or wouldn't be keen unless it is very, very important and the only way of doing it to adopt a new methodology of analysis. So very common tools used but are not limited to lags and leads, alternative analysis and performance reviews, etc. The techniques used also will vary as per management aspects under consideration. So we were talking about analytical techniques. Requirements of almost every project aspect needs some or the other time to consider the alternate or fast track or crash activities that take decisions about the impact of the project. So we discussed about this. This takes us to the next slide around this, which talks about, for examples, while considering the cost management aspect, techniques such as payback period or ROI, which is return on investment, internal rate of returns, IRR, and of course, then we have discounted cash flow will have to be used. And while we're saying this, what do we mean by using discounted cash flow? We will see it in the cost management chapter. Of course, the use of analytical techniques covers a very wide spectrum and demand wide range of volume of data. This will be from the organizational historical data, stakeholder requirement design, and based on certain assumptions. Hence, using analytical technique, one should fall into statistical trap. But focus on the trends, take the direction, indication, and decide the action plan. I use a very strong statement here while talking to people when I say it is called as paralysis by analysis. Now, why do I say that? And what do I mean by paralysis by analysis? Few of our folks are so much into data that they get into small nitty-gritties of this data and are not able to look at the bigger trend. So as a project manager, do not get into a paralysis by analysis. When I say that, what do I mean is, of course, do not overanalyze a lot of things. Look at a trend and work on the trend of your data. So one of an activity that's falling down and it's changing your trend, have a look at it. But if it's not hampering your trend, please do not bother too much around it, and do not get into a paralysis mode of your information. So just make a note of that, because it is imperative that you follow the trend and not small things. So remember this statement when I said this: no paralysis by analysis. So have a view of forest and do not spend time too much on one tree is the concept that we're talking about. Let's look at this next slide, which talks about the analytical techniques. Analytical techniques are also very effectively used to access the potential outcome with possible variations of project. Environmental variations, variables and relationship of their other variables such as risk, market conditions, currency exchange variations. The analytical technique applied in such cases are very, very obvious, which are called as regression analysis, group method, causal analysis. This is a quality management process for a software development using feedback to detect the achieving improvements in a development process. Root cause analysis, which is also called as the Ishikawa diagram, and it's also the fishbone analysis that people call it as. Forecasting method is the time series scenario building simulation. So you build a simulation and you try using that simulation and checking the problems. Forecasting method is also used by trending. So what's a trend that I have in last 6 months, and how do you think my project will work in with the same resources and same availability that I have? Failure based and effect analysis. So failure mode or effective analysis is one of the things. Reverse analysis. I move on from the end point and then start my analysis. Trend analysis I've just spoken about. Earned value management is also one technique. We've spoken about it. We will speak about it. And then there is a variance analysis. Let's look at what are the tools and techniques. Again, group creativity technique. What do you mean by that? It's basically nothing but a brainstorming exercise. Group creativity technique is used for organizing and use several group activities to identify alternatives, review the alternatives from different angles, impact of the alternatives, or arrive at the best possible solution. Few of them explained are below. What are those? Brainstorming. I just told you about it. Brainstorming, a very powerful technique to be used very optimistically during your projects. Then we have, of course, the nominal group technique, and I'll tell you what it is before we move. Before that, I'll just read through the slide for you. So brainstorming is a very widely used technique to generate multiple alternatives without any bias or prejudice. Such brainstorming doesn't include any voting or prioritization. It is often used with other groups' creativity technique that do so. When we talk about nominal group technique, it's the enhanced version of brainstorming that allows a voting process to rank the ideas preferentially. Most useful one of these are further taken to another cycle of brainstorming and prioritization. That's how the nominal group technique happens, which means you nominate, you vote the ideas with the team. The next is focus group. Focus group technique is to bring together all the stakeholders and subject matter experts to understand about their expectations and attitude about the project under execution. A trained moderator, expert guide, or the expert judgment, the person who gives the expert judgment, is generally a moderator of this interactive discussion, designed to be more controversial, conversational than one-to-one interview. And I'm sure you must have noticed a lot of discussion of these issues goes on a lot of news channels, and that's called a focus group discussion, where there's a moderator who's neutral, and of course there are expert people who are talking. People who are involved in the discussions are the stakeholders or the subject matter experts. Facilitated workshop is nothing but a training program that's done where people explore a lot of their understanding of the project. So example for such workshops are JAD, Joint Application Design Session, used for software development project. Another example is QFD, which is Quality Function Deployment Session, used for manufacturing industries. Or for that matter, it could be a design by quality by design, a QBD, which is done in pharmaceutical companies for better implementation of the project. The other is questionnaire and surveys. I'm not going to dwell much on it, just going to read what's written because it's very, very obvious what this technique is. Questionnaire is you send a questionnaire with yes or no answers and you get a report. A survey is you put in try to put in a percentile to every option that you're getting in the questionnaire. So questionnaire and surveys are the best suited to get information, opinion trend from a large number of response spread over a wide geographic area, and statistical analysis of such data is appropriate for analysis and evaluation. So if there are people across the globe who are going to get affected by your project, a great tool to be used is survey. Get a survey, do a good analysis, and then talk to people around it. Questionnaire shall be written set of questions designed to receive quick response. The sample size and geographical the dispersion of the respondents are the key factors for the effective results of the survey. To dedicate the location of the distribution centers for the consumer product or to decide routine and station allocation for a metro project are examples of a better understanding. So that takes us to the next technique, which is called as group decision making technique. We have different methods of group decision making technique. The group decision making technique is an assessment process having multiple alternatives with an expected outcome in the future action. These techniques can be used to generate, classify, and prioritize. Let me tell you and repeat, it is generate, classify, and prioritize the project requirements in the project management aspects such as your scope, risk, schedule, cost, resources, and a lot many. There are various methods of reaching a group decision, and a few of them are unanimity. What do you mean by unanimity? Unanimity is a decision that is reached whereby everyone agrees on a single course of action. There's no deviation. So for this, I would surely guide you to watch a movie called The 12 Angry Men. In this movie, there is a case that's been given to 12 people, and they have to reach one answer. Either it is yes or no. So that's called unanimity, where everybody agrees, every individual sitting in that room agrees to one decision, which is common, period. That's how it works. Majority is, of course, we all know about majority. Majority is about more than 50% people saying yes, or more than 50% people saying no for a particular output. So a decision that is reached with the support from more than 50% of the members for a single course of action out of the two nominated. We have plurality, the decision that is reached whereby the largest block in the group decides, even if majority is not reached. This method is generally used in case of number of options are nominated for more than two. Dictatorship is a method. One individual makes a decision in the group, and you know, I don't have to explain. I'm sure you have experienced this in your life when it comes to your family, father or mother. You say sometimes they just dictate, right? So that's one of them. Of course, it's good for you as we reading. So it's very used to it in Indian scenarios. Dictatorship. Right. Once decided, the decision taken has to be respected by all the stakeholders without any apprehension. If you look at a lot of SMEs, small segment organizations, where you have 100, 150 or 50 employees, generally this is the method. There is one owner, he decides this is the way it has to be done. Everybody follows it. That's also called as dictatorship, or it's an autocratic way of working or decision making.